Friends, we're getting back into our series of messages from the letter of Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatian churches, and we're looking tonight at Galatians 5, verses 1 through 15. Galatians 5, verses 1 through 15, found on page 1662 in the Bibles provided for you. Galatians 5, 1 through 15. This is God's word to us. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for these agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, last time in this series, it was a long time ago, we ended a 14-point sermon. Do you remember it? 14 points. And we ended it with fireworks. No, really, we did, if you remember. And a restatement of the simple good news message of salvation. The message of the gospel is that Jesus forgave our sins at the cross, made us right with God. He justified us through and through. That's the good news. Nothing more, nothing less. Simply believe that good news, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Isn't that something? That's the gospel. That's the freedom we live in. We are freed from any attempt on our part to make us friends with God again. We don't need to do it. It's been done by Jesus. We don't need to try. It's been done. We don't need to make the attempt. It's been done. It's the message Paul tried and tried and tried again to hammer home to the new Christians in the Galatian churches. He told them, you are free from the yoke of slavery to the law. You are free from getting circumcised just to get right with God. You are free from the disastrous course of trying to perfectly obey every last commandment in the law as if your lives depended on it. You are free from the failure you will inevitably face when you try to do that. You are free from trying to, by what you do, pronounce yourselves not guilty before God. None of it will work. But that's just fine because you are freed from all of that. Freedom rings in your lives. Freedom began to ring the moment Jesus paid for the sins of the world at the cross. And it's been ringing ever since, and now it's ringing in you, dear Galatian Christians. Paul hopes and prays they begin to see that again before it's too late. Because Paul knows that once you go down that path of self-salvation, trying to save yourselves, Paul knows that Christ and his work, listen, become worthless, at least for those who go down that path. Paul says, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Paul knows also that you go down that path of self-salvation and you will be alienated from Christ, a Christless life. And Paul knows that those who go down that path are in danger of falling away from the grace God freely offers. You can't save yourselves. A trinity of destruction is brought on us by one thing and one thing alone. The Galatian church, and let's be honest, any church, faith community as well, any church, any seeming believer who, once hearing the good news, goes on to work against it, goes on to bring the ringing bell of freedom in Christ to silence in their lives by trying to save themselves, calls down upon themselves a trinity of destruction that looks like this: a valueless salvation, a Christless life, and graceless living. And ultimately, with the freedom in Christ silence, we give up any hope of receiving the righteousness verdict when Jesus comes again. We give up any hope of being declared not guilty by God as he ushers those with faith in him into his heaven. By trying to save ourselves, we give it all up. We call down that trinity of destruction: valueless salvation, Christless life, graceless living. You silence the ringing freedom we have in Christ, and the bell of severe judgment will toll relentlessly for thee. Even before judgment day, though, look at verse 15. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. It's not that trying to earn salvation yourself destroys just you at judgment day. In Galatia, at least, it was destroying the entire church right then and there. Here were people trying to attain their status with God and their status with each other by perfectly obeying the law. You can imagine what that does to a church. The ones who do a pretty good job at it, here you are, the evening crowd. The ones who do a pretty good job at it, at least in what is visible to everyone else, inevitably begin to lord it over everyone else. Self-righteous behavior, finger-pointing, destructive criticism of others, gossip. See those people over there? They're nothings. They're not worth the ground they walk on. I, on the other hand, and the church begins to fall apart. Verse 15 is the horrific picture of that. A picture of biting and devouring each other. Did you know it's the word used for a pack of wild animals tearing each other apart? That's what the church begins to look like when we're more concerned about how good we look instead of how much we all need salvation found only outside ourselves in Jesus Christ. A pack of wild animals tearing each other apart. That's a sad excuse for a church. Paul drives it home again here, doesn't he? In this passage, as well as in the first four chapters of Galatians. But there's more to the passage than Paul's salvation by faith alone drumbeat. There's more to the passage. Oh, the passage is about the freedom we have in Christ from the law, because of faith in Jesus Christ. It's about letting the freedom of salvation by faith ring, but there's more to it than just that. Paul turns the corner this time, and I'm sure you're saying, finally, oh, finally. But be careful how you turn the corner with him. If you're thinking, oh, finally, some requirements. I can finally do something. I can finally add my 2 cents to my salvation. I can finally feel guilty again and then do something for God so I don't feel guilty until the next time I feel guilty. And then I'll do some other nice thing for God and I'll make myself feel better for a little bit until next time. And then I'll need to do some heroic Christian deed so that God will think highly of me and my self-esteem will rise until the next time I start to feel guilty, and you get the idea? If you turn the corner with Paul that way, you've done a 360. Going in the same direction, you're on the road of destruction all over again. You're not ready to turn the corner. Be careful how you turn the corner here. Be very careful. Very careful. Paul says that the freedom in Christ that he's talking about has a bonus, a blessing that comes with it. Christ sets us free from the law. By faith in Christ, we're free, but there's a bonus. The freedom we have because of faith alone in Christ brings a bonus with it. Paul says in the end of verse 6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, there's how you can safely turn the corner with Paul. You need to look at that verse this way. Not as an extra requirement, but like this. All I need to do is put my faith in Christ and I will be saved. I will be free. But guess what? God tells me, wonder of wonders, that I'm freed up, I'm saved for the most wonderful privilege imaginable. God tells me that because of faith alone in Christ, I get to love. I get to love. I get to love. I have the incredible honor, because God puts it in me, the incredible gift of love in my heart, and he says, you're free to use it. You're free to love. You can love, truly love now. That's the marvelous bonus that comes with faith in Christ. You're not obligated to love because of that faith. No, rather, because of that faith, you can love. You want to love. There's nothing more in the world you'd rather do than love. And it's because Christ first loved you. So the only appropriate, supernaturally natural thing to do is to do what Christ did first, to love. Not because you have to earn something, but because there's not too much else you'd rather do. That's how you turn the corner in this passage with Paul. That's how you turn the corner. I get to love now. I get to love. Not, I have to love now. No, I get to love now. Hallelujah. I'm a lover now, just like Jesus. Paul says, yes, you are free, but it doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want. It doesn't mean you indulge the old sinful nature. It doesn't mean you have a heyday with all those old sins. It means you finally have freedom at last to serve one another in love. It's the bonus of faith in Christ. You put faith in Christ, you not only get to be friends with God again, God puts love in your heart. God turns you into a loving servant. And over time, and sometimes right away, you begin to realize there is nothing you'd rather be than a loving servant. There is nothing you'd rather do than serve out of love for God and love for others. The idea here is that loving service or serving love never becomes some sort of pain in the neck requirement or some drudgery. But it's the thing that when all is said and done, there's nothing that even touches it, nothing that compares, nothing that even comes close. It's that good, it's that fulfilling, it's that energizing, it's that and so much more, because it's from God. Now, the question is for us. How do I know when I'm getting it right? When what I'm doing, I'm really doing out of love. When whom I'm serving, I'm really serving out of love. May I offer a couple of litmus tests for you? Then we'll close. First, litmus test. Ask yourselves the question this way. Am I focusing my eyes outward on the needs of others and desire to meet them? Or am I feeling for a pulse of guilty obligation inside myself? The motivation question. What motivates me to serve others, to serve someone? The needs I see around me, or the guilty twinges I feel inside if I don't? How would Paul answer that? How would Jesus answer that? How do you think? Think of Jesus' ministry. Can you even fathom the possibility that Jesus may have thought, oh boy, I better heal that woman, because if I don't, my father's going to be mad at me. That's absurd. Jesus ministered because the need was right there, and the love exploded out of him. Jesus never loved begrudgingly or out of obligation. Jesus loved because he desired to love. He loved loving people, no matter who they were. Look at us. Is Jesus obligated to love me, love you? I know what I'm like when no one's looking. And if I know it, you better believe Jesus knows it. He's God. And I certainly, by how good I am, let's just say I most definitely do not put on Jesus any obligation to love me. I assume we all could say the same thing. Nonetheless, Jesus sees our terrible predicament and desires to love us. So the first litmus test is this. Do you lovingly serve out of obligation or out of desire? Pray for the desire. It's in you because God put it there when Jesus made you new at the cross. Second litmus test is this. Do you serve to get something? Yes or no? Even something as little as a thank you note or a better opinion of you by someone else, a vote for your campaign, as it were. Do you serve because you know it's going to get you something? It's going to advance you somehow. Jesus served knowing it would kill him, knowing that he would be pounded to a cross. Second litmus test, do you lovingly serve expecting zilch or anticipating a gain? Pray for the zilch. Pray that nothing like selfish gain will enter into your decisions to serve and love. Second litmus test. So, did you turn the corner now the right way? Did you follow Paul's thinking as he finally took it a step further tonight? Finally. Paul says, our salvation is one where freedom rings and where love reigns. Faith alone in Christ. And on top of it, God gives us all a bonus. His beloved people have the honor, the privilege, the entitlement of serving one another in love. Serving one another in love. Faith expressing itself in love. What a bonus. And we ought to do... No. We want to do that, don't we? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thanks for the bonus of love for others that you've put in us. We pray for that love to well up in us, a geyser of desire to do just that, to love each other. And we pray that we would love expecting nothing in return. We pray for an anticipation of zilch. Pivot us away from love that leverages in any way and toward love that simply enjoys this incredible bonus that the Father's gift of love is. We love you, Lord Jesus, for getting us that particular gift at the cross. In your name we pray. Amen.